Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Nelson, what are you doing here? And how long will you be here? Edition. The bleh, makes me want to vomit. Edition. And the Tausch is getting questions now from fans on Twitter. Is he answering them? Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Are we going to do, like, Tausch's mailbag? I think we should start doing that. I think that'd be fun.
Where are you? Do you have a new setup at the house, or what is
I'm in my office. I can't tell you where it's located, but it's cross-section
Lambeau
of
Field, I think, right?
Lombardi and Oneida and Ridge kind of on the other side.
Hey, are you privy to this new facial recognition thing that the NFL's doing? That they're forcing you to take pictures of your eyes and your face and all that? Is that something you have to do?
He's the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Yes, I just submitted my photo and it was not very flattering. It's like a close-up with a blank background. It wasn't good. I've taken better photos.
Can you correct me? Is every fan that walks through the stadium, do they have to do that too? Or is it just the media and
media
just you guys?
Media and staff, yeah. Yep.
Okay, so when I come up for a game, I don't have to like go through and they take pictures of my face and eyes and have all that data for everybody, right? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page because I read Florio's piece. I'd heard that this was something, and I'm just curious as we move forward.
No, unless you'd like to come up in a media capacity, you should be fine. And I know you're not a member of the media. So are you perturbed by
that
this?
That is true. No, if from a media in like the super secure areas, I'm fine with it. Okay. I'm wondering, I thought that every fan, because they're trying to, you know, quote unquote, crack down. Again, I don't want to get into big tech and everything else. Not today. Another day I will. But if fans have to submit and do all of that, I would have some issues with that, yes. If it's just the media, I don't have a problem with it because you guys have access to, you know, the underlings of the stadium and everything else.
And the players.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, and the players, obviously. So we're in close proximity to them. So, no, I don't know what exactly it's all going to entail and look like. When I submitted my credential request for the games this season, though, I did have to attach a unflattering close-up photo that I took in my bathroom with a blank, like, blue background behind me. So it is – the technology has come a long way from the press passes that I have hanging here in my office from my
the good old days,
not so illustrious career. But yes, it is definitely different. So we will see what that's like. I don't even know what this is like. Are we going to be? Is it like Mission Impossible? You know, where Cruise drops down from the ceiling to get the knock list, but the guy that's operating the computer, he has to like put his face really close and it like reads his eyeballs and stuff. Like, I don't know what this is gonna, like when I get to the stadium, what's gonna happen to me? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm intrigued to find out. And I was under the impression, I'm glad it was false, that fans had to do that too.
Do you ever actually read any of these things?
I read headlines, and then I'll click occasionally when I think it's interesting.
But apparently not interesting enough to discern whether or not it involved fans.
I think there might be more to this story than what you're thinking. I don't know for sure. So I want to, before I make claims, I want to make sure I read and I'm educated about it. So we'll look at that tomorrow because I think all fans are intrigued by that, right? If you have to go and get, I think everybody will do it anyways, which is another thing that I'm not 100% sure about. But I don't know that for sure, so I'm not going to comment on it.
All right, let me bring it up and leave it. All right, yes, of course. That's well done. Let me rewind a second, though. Because I will say this, I believe that while I don't have a problem with doing it myself because of my proximity to the players and coaches and my access to the stadium that other fans don't, I do believe, and this is the journalist in me, I do believe in slippery slopes. And I would think that you're – thank you very much. It's great to have you because I love our finishing sentences as we begin our ninth season together. That's exactly right. Like, this is a total slippery slope, and who knows? I don't know how they're going to use this on people like you when your ugly mug comes to the stadium, or how it's like, is it, for instance, if you sell your tickets to someone and they behave poorly and they have both your facial recognition information and then have that person's, they can figure out you sold them the tickets. Can that adversely, if they already have those policies in place?
Yeah, it could.
But it can be even, now it could be even more punitive to you for, you know, having some knucklehead in your seat.
Yeah, so, if somebody falls asleep in the middle of a fourth quarter, that could happen. And then they could say, well, why did you let Jelly use your tickets? And then you can't do that because you're not being a good fan. And da, da, da. Jesse, did I win a meat raffle this weekend or what?
I did not make it to the meat raffle.
And welcome back, by the way.
Thanks. What?
It's gonna be a 5-day weekend.
Appreciate it.
We didn't win.
We didn't even go.
You didn't even go?
We didn't even make it. The Packers game was right in the middle of the meat raffle. We went after the meat raffle. We went a little, watch the third and fourth quarter.
There is nothing better than watching a Packer game while there's a meat raffle going.
No,
you get double your entertainment.
I beg to differ because then you're not concentrating on one or the other. You're giving 50% on both instead of 100%.
First off, they're going to do the meat raffle at halftime. Nobody's doing a meat raffle mid-game.
They did. 2:30 at Lakeside. At Lakeside Bar and Grill, 2:30 every Saturday is the meat raffle, no matter what else is going on. There's a Packer game at 3:25. Too bad. Meat's got to fly.
How long is a – you said that the Packers game was in the middle of the meat raffle. I hope that the meat raffle is not like a 4.5-hour process and you can fit a game in during the meat raffle, because I'm not interested in auctioning off meat for 4.5 hours.
Nah, you go 3 rounds meat raffle at Lakeside. They come around and sell tickets before every round. It's a 3-round process, about an hour and a half, hour 45 before that thing wraps up.
It's a long raffle.
Well, you're signing up for a good time. You're going to make the commitment to go to the meat raffle. You got to be there a while.
So why didn't you go? Just because you were engrossed in preseason football?
Yeah,
or other reasons?
We had gone out to lunch. We wanted to come back. We wanted to catch the first half of the Packers game because we did want to see Jordan Love and the starters in action. Great play by Tay Wiggs. Glad to know that he's not, you know, the bottom tier.
Even
looking
though
to get
you
traded.
Weren't going to be on the show Monday to comment on.
Wanted
it.
To
you
make
still
sure
needed to watch.
We're still a household of Packers fans who still wanted to watch football. And that's exactly what we did. And then we may have taken a nap in the late stages of the second quarter. And then we got over to Lakeside for the second half. And we watched the second half kind of, you know, at 50% while we were enjoying each other's company. And that's,
and now you're meatless.
And that, yep, so no meat. Sorry, Tausch, we did not get to acquire any meat on your behalf. I apologize that we didn't come through for you.
All right. What time did you get home from the up north there, Hey?
Probably like 6.
Yeah, late afternoon. Late afternoon. We usually get home around 6 o'clock or so. I don't know exactly what time it was. Around then.
Paula and the girls got home from their trip to Georgia at 12:17 a.m. Their flight landed at Austin Straubel. So that was a very late pickup.
But, I'd say.
So I'm glad you got home and you got all rested for your return to the show.
Did they run into flight issues on the way home, or was it just that was the scheduled time?
Yeah, no, they were supposed to get in at 11:30. So it wasn't too bad. So they were about 45 minutes late. They wanted to spend their last day in Georgia, and they took late flights. Unlike some people on the panel, I don't really have anything to complain about in terms of their travel. It was pretty seamless. But then again, my children are perfect, and I'm a perfect parent, so that's, I'm sure, why it worked out
that way.
You
never have any issues. Everything always runs smoothly for you.
Indeed. All right, speaking
I'm getting to the point. I have to start making some submissions in life. I am now 47 years old. I turned 47, I don't know, a couple months ago or a month, whatever it is, 2 months ago. And I love driving. I enjoy it. It's relaxing. Question, can you wear AirPods while you're driving, or is that frowned upon?
I think you can wear them to talk on the phone. I don't think you're supposed to listen to your music on them. I'm not a law enforcement agent.
How do you adjudicate that?
I don't think you can.
Hi, this is former Badger Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe.
Hey, Joe.
What the heck is going on here?
Is he back? Is Joe back?
He's back from Germany. Welcome back, Joe.
I know our good mutual buddy Kelmer, the doctor who saved the adult's life at the Top Golf. It was his birthday, and I saw Joe wishing Kelmer a happy birthday yesterday. So I didn't know Joe's back. Thanks, Jesse, for letting us know.
I don't know.
Maybe
what
you
just
can book
happened.
Him.
I didn't click book anything. It just played.
He doesn't. He waits 2 to 3 weeks to book Joe. That's what he does. What were we just talking about?
You have to make some concessions, not submissions.
Oh, yeah.
With your 47-year-old self.
So can someone tell me, if I'm on a phone call with, because I don't do the show with the AirPods, because Jesse said it sounds like junk when you do that, but when you have the wired mics, it sounds better. So that's what I do when I'm up in Door County, or tomorrow I'll be over at Badgers practice during the show, so I'll be doing that again. I just I love driving. I have always said, my mom would say, she doesn't like driving when it gets dark. Now, my mother-in-law is I'm not going to drive when it's dark out. My wife has said in the last couple of years, I don't like driving when it's dark out. And last night on my 3.5-hour voyage back from Door County at night is the first time in forever. I don't want to drive at night anymore either. I don't think I want to be a nighttime driver. And it pains me. There's all kinds of traffic cones. It was a goofy ride from Door County. So the first part, it was fine. But then you get in by your neighborhood. There's all these cones. And to get off on the Milwaukee exit to get back to 172 to veer towards Appleton, I was like on Mario Kart last night. There's orange cones, and there's this ramp is closed, and da-da-da. And it kind of got me all whop-whop-whop. And then we're going through Appleton, and it's the same thing. And I took Rosendale last night and didn't speed through it. As I'm driving, I thought, I don't want to do – now, I still will when I'm called upon, but I am now going to start structuring. Like, when we do the Door County trip next year, I will stay over Monday and come back early Tuesday morning so I don't have to drive in the dark. And I think that's an age thing. I used to always critique and think, what the hell's the matter with y'all? And now I'm here as a 47-year-old man saying, I get it. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Is your eyesight poor? Do you have night blindness?
No, my eyes feel fine. Like, I see you fine. It's not that. It was just, I don't know. Like, it was weird. Last night was the first time in forever that this thought has crossed my mind.
Two Frozen references in this story as well, which is pretty remarkable. Are you sure that it just wasn't specific to this drive? Like, if it was a goofy drive.
A lot of orange. Did you flashing lights? And then, no, I did not. But I got off before I got on the exit because there's cones and then there's this. And it kind of, like, deviates you. And I ended up having to, like, weave through cones because I missed or I got off a little early on for the ramp. And it was ba-boom because I didn't want to miss it. And
ba-boom.
And I think I just got rattled. But then there's these big lights that are coming. There's not even any road construction work getting done. So, yeah, I just got rattled. And then I'm not even going to get into Sarah irritated me last night, too.
Whoa.
I want to get into it?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Okay.
I do.
So she knows I have a forward motion complex issue.
We all do.
So her and the kids dropped me off at Horseshoe Bay Country Club in Sturgeon Bay. Beautiful golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Great outing. We raised, I think, a couple hundred grand for the Boys and Girls Club up there in Door County. It's great. 15th year doing it. Beautiful time. I go to Quick Trip Sunday night, and I put in enough gas plus 100 miles that she can go up and down the peninsula going and picking cherries and grabbing sourdough bread and all the branding things that Door County offers. I said, just make sure there's enough gas that I don't have to stop because I know y'all are going to sleep in the car. Just make sure there's enough gas for me to get from the golf course to our front porch. That's it. So what do you think happens when old girl pulls in? We have dinner at the deal last night. Here we go. What do you think happens? It's 160 miles from door to door.
And you had 140. You had about 146 on the range.
It's 158 miles on my gas gauge.
You and Tony.
No, that's not an applause.
Have
what the hell are you applauding that for, Jesse? What are you applauding that? I'm 2 miles short.
It's just enough.
No, it's not.
Push the envelope, bro.
Put some gas in the car once in a while.
I did. I gave her 115 miles to play with in the peninsula. 115 peninsula miles.
Mm-hmm.
And what does old T have to do last night? He's got to stop in Beaver Dam to splash the tank to get us home.
Aww.
At 10:15.
Dude, you are a brand ambassador for Quick Trip. All she did was give you an
opportunity. Yeah, I filled enough, and I put enough gas. Hold up. Gas in Door County at the Quick Trip to get us where we needed to be.
Well, she obviously had to drive around to different places while she was up in the peninsula.
She had 100 and some odd miles to peninsula drive, and she did more than and then she didn't decide. She could have splashed. She could have splashed a little in there before she came to the golf course, but no. So I'm irritated. Is that fair?
No.
What do you mean it's
Suck
not
it up,
fair?
Buttercup.
I'm driving 3.5 hours. How is that not fair?
For your event.
Tell me how it's not fair.
Just put some gas in the car. You didn't have to do it in Beaver Dam.
I did.
You saw how much gas was in there the whole time. Stop in Appleton when you're stuck in the construction traffic.
Jesse,
stop in Green Bay.
I gave her 120. I think it maybe was 110 miles of peninsula. The peninsula ain't that big. It ain't.
Well, apparently
so I was frustrated.
Yeah, well, at least you took it well. All right, so. Man, oh, man. I don't know anyone. I mean, not even Paula is to the point of, hey, we got to get a little bit of gas before. Why didn't you just stop at the same Quick Trip you hit on your way into town? It would have taken you 5 minutes.
I didn't want
to
stop.
Enough to get home.
Because I did Sunday night. I did this all in preparatory because I knew going to be a long drive and I didn't want to make stops and the kids were going to be sleeping and she'd be sleeping and blah, blah, blah. So, yes, that's what I did.
You're a complainer, man.
How's that complaining?
How is that complaining? What do you think that is? I'm irritated.
It's pointing out
my wife.
It's pointing out issues that we have, I thought had resolved prior to, and it didn't turn that way.
What did you think was going to happen if you showed up back at home with the gas tank at 3 miles to empty because you didn't have to stop for gas?
Because there's a Quick Trip very close to our house. I love going there. That's where I fill up. I wouldn't have gotten there. That's why. I would have been stuck in Columbus saying, hey, Jelly Belly. Old T and the family's stuck. I need you to come bring me a tank of gas, or one of those little red containers to put 2 gallons of gas. Because old girl didn't splash, or she drove too much on the peninsula.
If you have, I don't know, I don't want your address, but if there's a Quick Trip close to your house, but not like right next door, you had 160 miles to drive. The range said 158. You could have potentially. From the peninsula, like you did with Tony Cartagena that time early in the show's infancy.
That was fun.
Pushing the envelope. You could have tried to get to the Quick Trip by your house and see if you had enough to get there and then splash.
Oh, trust me. Trust me, I tried, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't love the fact it gets to 40 miles and then it just shuts off and just throws the big orange fuel gauge up in my thing. If it kept saying you have 22 miles, you have 18 miles, I would have done that. But it shuts off at 40, and now I'm looking like, well, is it going to go down to 36, and then I'm going to be stuck, you know, at the bread factory up here, you know, outside of Sun Prairie or in Columbus. You know, I didn't want to take that risk with. I was trying to be responsible. In a kind of a frustrated way.
You're responsible. That's how you view this.
Your vehicle doesn't count down how many miles you have remaining. It just says.
It stops at 40 miles.
That's preposterous.
Yes. No, it's to tell your dumb ass to go get gas. And it's discouraging you from pushing the envelope like Sarah did not leave the car at 40 miles with the gas light on. Sarah left it with 158 miles.
So on a trip that was 160 miles. No, with, she pushed the envelope.
Literally 25 to 30 Quick Trip. We should call Quick Trip and ask if they can give us detailed information of how many of their stores and stations there are between Sturgeon Bay and the one that's close to your house.
Is this right by 920 on text line? Do you get 20 miles on top of the whatever it says? Is that an accurate statement?
I don't know who 920 on the text line is.
I'm going to push that envelope more than I do.
Don't do that. Because some guy on the text line, some nameless
I wish they put
texter
their name on
said it,
it
was the case.
So I've definitely been at zero and have made it an extra mile or two to get to the nearest gas station.
How about 20 miles?
I can't say I've ever chanced it that much, but I've been on zero and still moving.
So, I've been working with Chuck Ebbs and the great team at Zimbrick Chevy. I'm getting a new car here in the near future, and I think one of the prerequisities is going to be
fuel efficient.
I want it to give me right down till the fumes. I want it to say 3 3/4. It gets to just like when you're on your GPS, and it says after 10 miles, it goes 9 3/4, 9 1/2. I want when you get to 10 miles to get it right down to the last fume of gas to tell me how much I got left.
Okay. Good luck with that. I think you should just get an electric car. Have you considered that possibility?
That's going to cause more problems for me than I think what I just went through.
I tend to agree. All right. Well, I'm sorry.
I love how you guys are so afraid. Like, can you just admit that Sarah left me in a tight spot?
I'm not.
I know you won't because you're scared. But
it's a family trip. If you got to stop for gas, you stop for gas. It doesn't matter who's driving or what the deal is. You just, when you got to do it, you got to do it.
Why don't you, you're annoying today. Why don't you take a day off? Take a day, Jesse. You've been working too hard. And you know what? That's how I say welcome to my guests. How do you say welcome to your guests? Well, you should say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You should say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. And you say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. And you say it with a great deal. Get 0% interest for, again, Gina texted us. Gina sent us a voice text. It used to be 3 years, but till the 31st, 5 years of no interest and no money down with equal payments. But hurry up. Again, this offer ends at the end of the month. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Everyone in the Packers universe is talking about Matt LaFleur's quote, "I want to vomit," except for the one show that has
I want to vomit when I don't have enough gas in my car to get home. That's what I want to do.
I want to vomit. Matter of fact, that it's...
One of my children was so upset about last night that they did vomit when we got home. And I think it was because of the gas situation. Continue.
I'm willing to guess it's not because of the gas situation.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
You got 158 miles to go before the show is over, but I might run out of gas myself after that first segment. Jesse, how is Tausch's belly aching, complaining?
It's not belly. That is not belly aching. It's not. It's pointing things out.
How did Sarah view it? How did Sarah view it?
She fell asleep. Like after she fell asleep.
Oh, so did you air this grievance publicly?
Oh, yeah.
Airing it to privately?
I legit got in the car and was like super excited. Okay, we're heading home. We've been up there for 3 or 4 days, ready to get home. And driving, and all of a sudden we got to like, you know, this course, of course, a little bit outside of Sturgeon Bay. So we're heading back, and I look and I'm like, well, how many miles is it to the crib? And I could tell she knew that she had screwed up. And she said, like 100, and she kind of mumbled it. And that's when I said, well, that's not going to get us home. And then I got into how far, you know, all this other stuff. And I said, we'll figure it out. You know, old T will find a way. And sure enough, old T
thank you for your service.
Found a way. Thanks. Wanted to tell everyone about it. Kevin in Washington says, check your owner's manual, Tausch, but most cars have 2 gallons left when the low fuel light comes on.
When it comes on.
Yeah, it comes on, but that's another 50 miles, and, you know, you get about 21, 22 is a real good SUV MPG. But then if old boy from the 920 is right, which I can't condone because I don't know, I'd like to push it a little bit more. And if that's the case, I would. But I'd like to just know when it gets to 10 miles, it goes down to 9 3/4 and then 9.5 and et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I do know when you go and you push that envelope and the needle is going, if it's a 25-gallon tank, how often do you actually put 25 gallons in your tank? Not that often. Because I do think there's a little more leeway on the end because these car companies look at it and say, you're idiots. And you're going to run, some of us, you're going to run too low, and we're going to give you a little buffer just in case you're a buffoon. And if that is the case, I appreciate these companies doing that.
Someone did the research for us, a 920, different 920 than the other 920 on the text line. There are 13 quick trips, unofficially, between Sturgeon Bay and Sun Prairie, immediately off the normal route, whatever that is.
I actually
41
think there's
or
more.
Whatever.
I actually think there's more.
Yeah, but 13 seems 920's
low. 920 doesn't quite understand old T yet. And that's a me problem. I am fully aware it's a me problem. Fully aware.
Oh, it's definitely
but I'm still
a
just
problem.
Stating what happened.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. I want to get to the...
I'm good with that.
I want to get to Matt LaFleur yesterday. He also had some other things that I want to pass along to Jesse to see if we can get the audio of. Because
did you ask the question that induced his vomit response?
You'll have to stay tuned to find out. Seems now like a good time for you to tell us about Quick Trip, where you chose not to stop and instead blame your wife for not having enough gas in the tank.
Well, he stopped in Beaver Dam, which I, normally I just rave about stopping at Quick Trips, just not at 11 o'clock at night, but in the summer, like yesterday, there's nothing quite like a stop at Quick Trip. While I'm on the road, you get an ice cold, refreshing drink, like an ice cold Coke. And this summer just got a whole lot cooler with the Quick Trip and Coca-Cola. You play the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game daily this summer in your Quick Rewards app. Even Jesse plays it, even during Packer games, unlike the meat raffle. You can enter in to win a weekly winner drawing where Quick Trip is given away. 500 grand this summer. 10 weekly winners get 25,000 bucks each. And then one final week winner gets $250,000. It's 500 grand given away just for playing the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game on the Quick Rewards app. You can even earn extra chances to win by using your Quick Rewards every time you purchase Coke, Monster Energy, Powerade, Body Armor, Smart Water, or Core Power Elite products. Download the Quick Rewards app today. See quicktrip.com/sweepstakes for full details.
What'd you just win, Jesse?
$2 off of pothole pizza. Added to the coupon section. That's a fantastic little win there.
That's a good one. That's a good pull tab win for you.
What makes Matt LaFleur want to vomit?
You.
36 Sounds minutes like you. Into the show, you don't know, but we'll tell you next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
I can't wait for Tausch to listen to this and critique it. When you were on with, as you like to call them, Vinny and the boys, Vinny and Eric and Pancake and the whole crew on WTMJ, did this come up?
It did. Yep.
I don't think I've ever elicited a response that included the phrase, "I want to vomit."
Yeah, I enjoy that, especially in an audio form, because it paints a picture. Now, not everybody's going to love that picture, but it paints a picture. And so when Vinny and the boys, and Jesse, I don't know, are you going to play the clip and then we can respond? Because
I don't know. How do we normally do things around here?
I don't know. Is that what we normally do?
What, are you new here?
Riley didn't play clips, so I wasn't sure if, everybody's got different ways they want to do it. If you want to play it, this would be a good time to do so.
He played a clip or two. All right. Time now. I want to vomit. The first four words out of Matt LaFleur's mouth in response to my question.
Matt, we kept asking you about, do you need a number one receiver and stuff like that in the offseason? You guys have so much talent in that, especially in the top four, but even beyond that. Where does Wicks fit into that picture?
I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we got a bunch of them. So, but I think they're all kind of, I think the beauty of them is they're all capable of doing many things, which gives us a lot of versatility from an offensive perspective in terms of how we use these guys and deploy their talents. I think, you know, especially those, I would say, top four guys, they're all capable of being a number one in some capacity. And it's just, how do we want to attack somebody and where do we want to put those guys? And it allows us, I mean, who's going to get the ball? I don't know. I mean, it could change on a week-to-week basis. We saw it last year. And then we have Bo Belton come in and be our first 100-yard receiver versus Minnesota. So I think it just, again, it frees us up in terms of just from an offensive standpoint and how we attack people.
So I don't want you vomiting, but okay.
Appreciate that.
I wasn't asking about number one. What I was driving at is that exact issue. Is you got four guys and five through eight, there's some pretty damn good guys there too. But what's the challenge for you as you choose personnel groups, as you pick and choose, how you get a guy? Like, there's times when Wicks gets the fewest snaps of those four with the ones, and then you see what he did on something.
He did. He only got one snap the other day, and he made a hell of a play. So, that could be tough. Maybe we'll be a 10 personnel team. Who knows?
Ha! Good one. not quite the same as the explanation of two down linemen versus outside linebackers becoming defensive ends. But if you listen to the question, and again, Matt and I are great. I'm not mad. I don't always enjoy going viral. And that obviously got a lot of attention yesterday.
Jesse, do you think Jason likes going viral?
It depends what he goes viral for.
This was good.
I don't think Jason minds going viral for this.
No, I don't either. And I think the two down lineman thing, you felt like you were being made fun of because you didn't know ball.
Even though I
didn't. And I pushed on that because it was fun, but you know enough ball to know, you know, spacing and how that works.
Indeed.
This was Matt LaFleur talking to his guys. This wasn't him telling you or anyone else. He knows that this is what the media and everybody does. What he is trying to do, and God bless him, he wants all of these guys to feel like they're a number one wideout. He wants those four to understand, I don't know when you're going to be called, but you all are so talented. I don't want you getting caught up in fodder for talk shows and articles and websites. I want you to just keep working, because the longer we can keep this, the more difficult it's going to be on all of these opposing defenses, and the more we're going to keep all of you guys engaged. Because I'm certain when he hears, or when Wallers is telling him, the Dontavian Wicks only got one rep or three reps in the scrimmage, that was a deal, that's become fodder. They talk about what the fodder is, and then whether or not they want to engage it or snuff it out. He wants this snuffed out. And for now, he can. But I promise you, if Romeo Dobbs or Christian Watson ball out in the first two games and have 6-8 catches in each game, people are going to say, boy, he's really emerged as your number one. And he doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. That's what makes him want to vomit, is that this narrative he wants to suppress as long as he can, because he knows it's the best interest for his guys to all be competing for catches, reps, and everything else. And when this conversation comes up, and now I'm sure you're writing an article on your boy Dubois and trying to find a way to get him in this mix, hey, that's great. We got another guy we really like.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably looking at it like, all right, we're going to snuff this out. I want all of these guys to feel like they're a number one wideout.
All right, so a couple things. Thank you for your insight on that and the idea that he's really talking to his team, not to me. I just happen to be the dope that asked the question. Secondly,
I think he kind of likes goading you a little bit too. Because
I think so too. I think that's kind of
you play with him. You're one of those kids that hey, you go in a sandbox. Hey, you play. You're a sandbox player when it comes to LaFleur. Some guys are probably a little stodgier. You're not.
He, by the way, is at the podium now without me, so he'll have to find someone else to play with today. Marshawn Lloyd will not be playing with anyone. He will not practice today with that hamstring issue. And I'm guessing he won't play in Denver. So here's what I am curious about. You said, I think you make a really good point about messaging to the team. He is fighting the good fight on that, obviously, right? Because he wants it to last as long as possible. Later in the day, Jason Vrabel, who coaches wide receivers, they have a wide receivers coach in addition to him now. He's now the passing game coordinator. But he flat out said it can't last because they're going to have to choose who they're going to pay and who they're not. And this will naturally be resolved. So I don't have a problem with his messaging. I also would say, though, that I never got a clear answer in terms of how he views Dontayvion Wicks. Like, there was
What did you want him to say?
Well, I thought he was going to – I was hoping he was going to say something of, look, we want to get all these guys as much opportunity and playing time and targets and snaps as possible.
You were hoping he's going to say Dubois is our number one because that's your guy.
So I wrote DuBose, and now I wrote this story today. But the bottom line is that they have a bunch of talent. And as I say in the question, 1 through 4, but also 5 through 8. Now, I'm not saying that Samari Toure could go to another team or Bo Melton could go to another team and be their number one receiver. That's not what I'm saying. But he's got a lot of talent to work with. And the idea of going 10 personnel of one back and 4 wide receivers, great. Sounds great. But he's not going to do that. So it's still – he has to get Wicks on the field. Wicks deserves to be on the field. And what I was driving at is – and what's what I asked in the follow-up is how do you manage that? Because you don't – like the play – and here's what's great about this, and this is what I used in my story in the State Journal today. This play is a perfect example – of what's so great about where they're at right now.
Their ensemble cast, yeah.
Friends. I mean, I think he's probably talking to you, given how much we talked about the ensemble cast and Rachel maybe being the one someday. But the personnel grouping was Josh Jacobs in the backfield, Romeo Doubs lined up to the left, and then to the right it was in order from
Doubs
the
to the left of me, Watson to the right, here I am. Is that what you're saying?
Throw in the ball to Wicks. From on the right, it was Reed in the slot, then Wicks, and then split out wide was Musgrave. So their personnel creates a matchup where a completely overmatched safety is trying to keep up with Wicks.
And that guy had hammy no trying to keep up with him.
Right. Yep. And so I think even though everyone seized on the vomiting thing, I really do think that that play underscores what they want to have happen on this offense. And this is what I want to get to from you next, because as this was all going on and everybody was talking about vomiting and everybody was tweeting out the quote and whatever else, I was hearing Aaron Rodgers' voice in the back
of
my
head. That's surprising.
It actually is. I don't think about him that much. Although I was hoping for a clear
cut apology. Pull it. Does Wildy still think about Rodgers? I got a hunch I know what the answer to that will be.
I didn't say I don't think about him ever. I said I don't think about him much. What I do think about is the next edition of Behind the Bucks. It is here on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. Behind the Bucks, Going for Gold, features Bucks stars sharing experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics, from battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. You can find it on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. I'll explain why I was hearing Aaron Rodgers' voice as this all played out. I'll explain that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
So here's why I heard Aaron Rodgers' voice yesterday. Because we spend a lot of time talking about Devontae and how he forced the ball to Devontae in that playoff game against the 49ers that they lost when Alan Lazard was open. We look at Devontae's numbers, and there's such a wide disparity during his time as the number one receiver compared to the rest of the receivers and tight ends on the roster. I get all that. But during the era that you were playing with him and the immediate time after your retirement, Aaron Rodgers used to love to say that his favorite receiver was the one who was open. Mm-hmm. And he was able to do that because he had that group of receivers that were on the cover of Sports Illustrated with him. And while I would argue that there was a little more separation with them than there is with this group, you know, Greg Jennings was his number one receiver in 9 and 10. And then as 10 went along, we saw the end of that season when Jordy started to really emerge. And then in 11, Jordy was the number one. And then obviously later it was Devontae. And there was that transition during, I would say, the 2017 season before Rodgers broke his collarbone from Jordy to Devontae. He threw to the open receiver all the time, too. Like, you look at those numbers early in his career, and it's relatively balanced. It's not nearly as skewed. So this idea of a number one receiver doesn't have to mean what it came to mean with Devontae Adams. And I don't know, Tausch, I don't know if they'll have a 1,000-yard receiver this year. They may have.
Yeah, they will.
They may have a 900, an 800, a 700, and another 700. I mean, that's possible. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, and I don't think Matt LaFleur in any way thinks it's a bad thing, but I agree with your assessment, and I think that's the most important takeaway from this, is that he wasn't really talking to me. He was trying to make sure that he was emphasizing to people like Dontavian Wicks, who may not get as many snaps as Romeo Doubs or Jaden Reed, that they're still capable of being a number one in what they do. Fair?
Yeah, that is why, and I know some of our fans were like, "What are you talking about the wide receivers so much?" Because it's fascinating. It's a beautiful thing, and it's also a complicated thing. And it's going to get more complicated, at least that's my thought. That doesn't mean that is exactly what will happen, mm-hmm. but what typically happens in an NFL season is guys will start kind of figuring things out. And when that happens, your confidence in those people rise. And if there's a couple of mistakes, well, that doesn't mean they're not going to throw you the football, but they're going to say, make sure Doubs is in on this route. Oh, you know, let's make sure Wicks mm-hmm. is here on this route. And mm-hmm. when you start doing that, coaches will say, okay, well, this is where, because coaches want players to be successful because then they're successful. And the more success you have, the more confidence comes, and the less opportunities you have, it makes you a little more disengaged. That's the tricky part of this. So I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but I do believe that, I know you guys don't like my bulk tank references and butter fat and cream rising to the top, et cetera, but that's what happens.
I'm okay with cream rising
to the top. That is what happens in this league. And is it possible that this is going to be kumbaya all over and it's just going to be 1 week this and 1 week the next and nobody gets injured and everybody catches between 50 and 60 balls and has 600 or 700 yards? Hey, that'd be awesome. But how many times in the history of the NFL have we seen six receivers? that have caught more than 40 or 50 balls and had it just doesn't happen for a lot of reasons. Maybe this team will be that special that it can happen, but I would argue that Matt LaFleur has got a plan, and I think that plan is to use those 3 and 4 guys and have them in different roles, and whomever emerges and can stay healthy is going to get the lion's share of that stuff. And I believe his thought process, Watson, Dobbs, Reed, and then Wicks is going to be that next guy that's going to get opportunities, but it's going to be less than those other three if everybody stays healthy. That's what I believe is going to happen.
All right, I want to get to the 10 o'clock hour, but Jesse, put that text back up from Jim in Indianapolis.
About the gas? About the gasoline?
It is not. It is not about gasoline. It is about the idea that they're all evenly. They're not all evenly viewed. They're not. They're not going to get the exact same snaps. That's
and
not
you
the
know,
case.
And let me tell you something. You know what else? They're going to not be evenly paid. This is not going to be Ross Geller and everybody saying, you know what? I know I could make a lot. You think Romeo Doubs is going to go into Russ Ball's office and say, you know what, man? I know you want to pay me $30 million. Let's do this. Let's the four of us all just make 20. And it's just going to be, we're going to continue to just put out great content / shows. You think that's going to happen like what happened on Ensemble Friends?
It would be amazing if it did. It would be the first time in NFL history that a group did that. It would be like the Jalen Brunson and the Knicks all taking these contracts to be able to play together. I don't necessarily see that happening. So Jim and Indy's text message is this. Maybe it's time to think of the receivers as an evenly ranked group like the Brewers regarded their initial outgetters pitching staff. First of all, those guys that are the initial outgetters, I wouldn't compare them to wide receivers who are really important to what you do and are usually your kind of offensive engines along with the quarterback.
So are IOGers. IOGers are important too.
How many innings do they pitch?
Couple.
Okay. Secondly, I don't give a damn what the rankings are for their wide receivers. I don't. I'm not interested. I don't know if I'm to the point where I'm going to vomit about it. But for those that think, oh, my God, you're talking about the wide receivers again. Look, we were not going to discuss the wide receivers until Matt LaFleur said, I want to vomit. That's why we're discussing it. I don't care.
You think if
what
he said if you said he was getting queasy, does that get the same traction as vomiting?
No, the vomit or puke are
vomit
two
moved
very
the needle.
Strong words. Yeah,
yeah, yeah vomit yeah, strong.
No doubt. I mean, it's got its own emoji. So my point is simply this: I am not worried about this.
By the way, you're wearing that emoji out. Like you're wearing that vomit emoji out. Your State Journal article, Will D. and Tausch, I think the Bulaga Hour, you have put that vomit emoji out in the universe 6-7 times since yesterday.
Sounds like 3, actually. But be that as it may.
I don't follow you on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on Insta, so I don't know what you're doing there. I'm assuming it's probably similar.
John in Brookfield has a question, but we'll get to that during the 10 o'clock hour. Because first, before we can move any further along in this show, Tausch needs to tell us about Coors Light and his love of Coors Light, which never makes him queasy.
It does not. Coors Light brewed with that 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And I make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company. A Golden, Colorado.
10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.